Page Chav Tes Samid Aleph, six lines to the bottom of the page, where the lines start getting wide. In the Mishnah, there was a din that a person who is chetziv eved v'chetziv ben chayden, a person who's half slave and half free, and we learned that what it means is that he was owned by two masters, and one of the masters freed him, so now he's half free and half slave. So the din is, the Mishnah said, he cannot fulfill a free person. He cannot even free from Shefer a person who's half free and half slave. That means he can't even blow for anybody. And the Gemara is going to discuss, can he blow for himself? Now, why can't he blow for somebody else? Because half of him is slave. Therefore, half of him is not obligated in the mitzvah. That means when he blows, half of it is an obligated blow, and half of the blow is a non-obligated blow. Now, the guy that has to hear it has to hear an entire blow from an obligated person.
What if he does it twice?
No, it doesn't matter. It's just like you blow. If a kid blows twice, it's still no good.
So he can't do it for himself? We
don't know about for himself. He can blow for another half-slave, half-free, because the other guy's half-free has to hear it. Right? Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna." So Rav Huna said, "Ula atzmei meitzi." For himself, he could blow. Chavta samin aleph, six lines in the bottom. Ula atzmei meitzi. For himself, he could blow. Amar Rav Nachman la Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, "Ma'ishna achedim deloy. Why can't he blow for others? Deloy also tzad avdus, because the half free of him cannot come umapik tzad chedus and fulfill the obligation of the free half." So he says, "Af la'atzmei nami lo yosit tzad avdus diday umapik tzad chedus diday." So therefore, Rav Nachman asks a very simple question: if he can't blow for another half slave and half free, then how could he blow for himself? Because half of him is free, half of him has to hear shofar, right? But every blow that he blows is half free and half slave. So how can his half free side be yetzer with a non-kosher blow? So therefore, Rav Nachman says, "Av la'atmei eina meitzi." He can't even blow for himself. He can't blow for anybody. And this is the only creature in the world, by the way, that can't blow shofar for themselves. Even a tumta mandregen is all that, you know, they can blow for themselves. Because whatever they are, they are. Here, the guy's half free and half slave, he can't even blow shofar for himself, according to Rav Nachman at least, and that's the halacha, because half of him has to hear, half of him doesn't have to hear. But when he blows for himself, half the blowing is a non-obligated blow. And therefore, the half of him that has to hear is not hearing a kosher shofar.
If he is thinking that he is not yoitzit for the slave in half.
He can't do that because when he blows, he blows. He can't cut the blow in half.
I have to think. But the shofar, yoitzitzan.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if you think you're yoitzit, you're not yoitzit, it's not going to work. Because when he blows, half of the quality of that blow is a non-obligated person. And then the Gemara says, Tanya na mihochi, so we taka learn to nebraise him. It says clearly, "Mi shechetziv efid v'chetziv ben chayden," a person who's half slave and half free, "af la'atzmi ein yemeitzi," he can't even blow for himself. Why can't he blow for himself? Like we just said, because half of him is blowing is no good. Then it says, "Tana aver b'reid rav zedam." Now it starts a whole new gemara, very easy gemara, but a new gemara, a very practical gemara in halacha, by the way. It says, Tani Ava Bereid Rav Zeira. Ava, the son of Rav Zeira, has learned. Kol HaBrachas Kulam, every bracha, Afo Pi Sheyotze, even though he would fulfill the obligation of the bracha already, Meitzi, he can make the bracha for somebody else. I'll explain in a second. Chutz Mi Birchas HaLechon HaBirchas Sayayin. Except the bracha of bread, HaMeitzi Lechem and Haritz, Eber Pri HaGofen, and by the way, the Mepharshim say, it doesn't mean only those two. It means all brachas we say on food. He says, "Shem Yotza, if you weren't yotza, meitzi, you could be meitzi somebody with the bracha. Vim yotza, but if you fulfilled your own obligation, then you can't." Okay. Now, yeah. The din is as follows. We learned, why can I do a mitzvah for somebody that already did the, if I did the mitzvah already? For instance, if I heard shofar, I can still blow for somebody who didn't hear shofar. If I heard Megillah already, I can read the Megillah for somebody who didn't hear the Megillah yet. And the obvious question is, one who's not obligated in a mitzvah cannot do it for one who is obligated in a mitzvah. That's self-understood. That means a kid who's not obligated in a mitzvah can blow shofar for an adult because they are obligated in a mitzvah, the kid's not. So the obvious question is, like we discussed in the past, if I already heard shofar, I'm not obligated anymore in the mitzvah, how could I blow shofar for one who has to hear it? If I already heard Megillah, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah anymore because I heard it, so how can I read the Megillah for somebody who is obligated? So the answer is, call Yisrael Arevim Zalazah. All Jews are responsible one for another. Therefore, if you didn't hear Megillah, I have an obligation to make sure you hear the Megillah. So I'm also obligated. Not in listening to the Megillah for myself, but I'm obligated to make sure that you hear the Megillah. So therefore, I'm allowed to read for you. But that's only in mitzvahs. In brachas over food, where it's not a mitzvah, I make hametzi lechem in aretz because I need to eat bread. Right? But if I already made the hametzi lechem in aretz and I'm already eating bread, how can I make hametzi lechem in aretz for you? It's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah is the concept. I can make a bracha because I have an obligation to make sure that you do a mitzvah. But I'm not obligated to make sure you drink milk or eat cake or bread or wine or whatever. So he says, it's a very simple thing. Every bracha, which is a mitzvah, you could do for somebody else. Except the bracha of birchas hanenin, meaning the brachas of enjoyment of things of food and so on. So therefore, he says as follows. If I'm eating bread and you're eating bread, and I didn't make hametzi yet, I can make hametzi lechem in ha'aretz, and you can hear the bracha and fulfill your obligation. But if I already made hametzi, to go ahead and just make hametzi for you, I'm not allowed to. It's a very simple thing. It's not a mitzvah. If it's no mitzvah, there's no responsibility for me to you. And if there's no responsibility, how can I do a bracha?
So let's say a person made a bracha on matzah on Erev Pesach, and someone came by and says, I don't know how to make the bracha. Can you make the bracha for him?
The alachilas matzah or hametzi lechem in aretz? Which one? You see, that would be the difference. Because by matzah, there's two brachas. One is the bracha for the mitzvah, and one is the bracha for the benefit. So then you couldn't. No, but by Kiddush you could.
Why? Because matzah is...
No, because when you make Kiddush, the Bnei Pri HaGafen is part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. Because the Chachamim instituted it. We'll see in the Gemara. There's more details in the Gemara. Yeah, but you could still do it. Because again, rabbinically, you still have a responsibility to make sure that the other one has to do it.
Enjoy it from the vine and make a girlfriend.
Yeah, but what happens if he doesn't drink at all? I'll give you an example. You go to a chasana, we'll see more in the Gemara. Yeah. You go to a wedding, the Masada Kedush makes the brachas, right? He makes Bnei Pri HaGafen, who drinks the chosin and kala, not the rabbi. Then by the Sheva Brachas under the chuppah, again you say Bnei Pri HaGafen, who drinks chosin and the kala, nobody else drinks.
Why doesn't the chosin and kala say the bracha themselves?
They don't, because they yaitze from the talker, from the from
they?
The sayer.
Why don't they traditionally?
Because then it's a bracha in vain, basically, because he's not drinking. So he's making the bracha only for them. Understand? If he's making the bracha only for them, why are they saying their own bracha? He's not making it for himself because he's not drinking. Right?
Why he does that?
I'm saying because part of the seder of the chuppah is that the ones are making brachas for them. They're blessing them. So the rabbi, or let's say, or then the shavah brachas, whoever is doing it, is making the bracha, but he's not drinking the wine himself. He's not doing it for himself. He's making it only for them. So why should they make their own bracha?
He's making all those previous
ones. Right. Okay, let's see it inside. So he says, Tana Ave B'ed Rav Zeira, Kol Brachos Kulon Bottom Line, Ave B'Shiyot Meitzi, even though he did the mitzvah already, could be Meitzi. And the Grashi says, because all Jews are responsible one for another, except Birchus HaLachem and Birchus HaYayin, except the bracha of bread and wine, Rashi says it means all foods. Shimla Yotze, if he didn't fulfill his obligation yet, Meitzi, he could do it for others. Vim Yotze, and if he already did the mitzvah, the bracha ain't a Meitzi. Okay? So now the Gemara says, exactly your question. Mordechai, this is your question. How about the Birchas HaLechem of Matzah and Birchas HaYayin of Kiddush? Which one is that? Is that mitzvah? Exactly what you said. HaMeitzi Lechem in Ardus by Matzah. Or in the middle of Kiddush, you make a Brei Pri HaGafen. Can he make that bracha too? In other words, what bracha is that the HaMeitzi or the Brei Pri HaGafen? Is that mitzvah bracha? Or is that enjoyment bracha? Which one is it? So the Gemara asks, that's what Rav's question is. Birchas halachem shal matzah, the hameitzi of lachem, of matzah. Okay? Or birchas hayayin, shal kiddush hayayim, and the bracha of kiddush, mahu, what's the din about those two brachas? Do we say, kivin d'chayvahu, the fact that kiddush and matzah is a mitzvah, mapik, that he could fulfill the others even though he already did it, or the bracha is not an obligation. In other words, the hameitzi is not different than any other hameitzi. Or the brei pri hagafen is not different than any other brei pri hagafen. So Toshma, the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. The Amar Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi says, Kavin and Rav Papi, when I was in the Yisha house of Rav Papi, having Mekadosh Lon, he made Kiddush for us. The Papi made Kiddush for the people. Then, V'chiyava Osarisi, Midabro, when his sharecropper came from outside, having Mekadoshly made Kiddush again for him. The story is like that the sharecropper worked outside in the fields. So he came home a little bit later than everybody else. Rav Ashi brought Shabbos, Rav Papi brought in Shabbos earlier. So Rav Papi already made Kiddush for everybody in the house. Then the sharecropper came in, he made Kiddush again for him with the Brei Pri HaGafen. So what do you see from there clearly? That you could do the Brei Pri HaGafen, because even though it's bracha of Brei Pri HaGafen, it's different than all other Brei Pri HaGafen. It's part of the mitzvah. Same thing. The Gemara is saying it's the same thing. Because Tesis explains, those two brachas are not like regular Brei Pri HaGafen and Ameitzi. Brei Pri HaGafen and Ameitzi normally are just to eat. You're not making Brei Pri HaGafen, you make it because of the Kiddush. It's more of a mitzvah than a regular one. Then it says, Tan Rabban a new braisa. This is an etiquette. The year for the Sadam Perutza L'Archim, a person should not break bread for the guests. Adam Kein Echel Himarim, unless if he eats with them. In other words, like we just learned, the host used to make a meitzi for everybody. So it says the only time he can make a meitzi for everybody is if he's eating with them. Avul peiris to lebanavul bnei beisi, but you could make a bracha for your little kids. Kdei lechanchem b'mitzvus, to teach them in mitzvahs. And that's why a parent is allowed to make a bracha with little kids, even though he's not eating. Why? Because you have to teach him how to make a bracha. And then it's not in vain. One second. Ubahalul ub Megillah. Ubahalul and Megillah, the din is, Afal Pishayati, even though you already did the mitzvah already, Meiti can do say it for others. So now there's a whole question over here. The Gemara says clearly, once you did it, you could still do it for somebody else. Right? Some poskim write not the bracha, only the mitzvah itself. And then there's a whole question whether this is only by biblical mitzvahs or only rabbinic mitzvahs.
Well, you should say hamotzi for somebody. You can give the bread to him. And
the question is, who makes the hamotzi?
Word by word, we tell him to read it.
Yeah, but the Gemara's question is, can I just make the hamotzi for them without them saying it? That was the question. Oh, no. So the Gemara said, You can't make hamoti for somebody else unless if you're going to eat a piece of bread too. Because you don't have to educate them in the bracha. They're adults already. But if you want to teach kids, you're allowed to make a bracha even though you're not going to eat.
What if an adult is illiterate and they have to, he doesn't know how to say it? He can't read, he can't...
So then the halacha is you really could help them. You could help them.
Can you have them repeat it after you, like, word by word?
You could. That's why you're putting on tefillin with somebody. You can, you make the bracha, you know, you help them with the bracha. They don't know it. You're allowed to say the bracha.
That's amazing.
Yep. But you're still saying a bracha even though you're not being mitzvah them with the mitzvah. You're not putting on tefillin for them.
The chinuch.
You could do it. But here there's a whole question in the mefarshim, because some mefarshim want to say, why is the Mishnah only mentioning Halal and Megillah? I mean, why is this dimension only a Halal Megillah, that even though you did the mitzvah and you could do it for others, it's only rabbinic mitzvahs. So some poskim want to say that biblical mitzvahs you can't. Because the Mishnah, the Brayis is only saying rabbinic mitzvahs, Halal and Megillah. It doesn't say Shofar. It doesn't say other biblical mitzvahs that even though you did it already, you could do it for others. But the pearl, the aloch is that it's, anyway, you could, even by biblical mitzvahs. Okay, next perek. Yom Tov is a very famous perek, which applies to this year. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, it falls out on Shabbos. Right? Last year and this coming year. Mm-hmm. Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, Shacholi is b'Shabbos. Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, it falls out on Shabbos. So what's the story with Shofar? Okay? So it says, B'migdash are you taking? In the base of Migdash they blew. Avalei b'Medina, not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi learns, b'Medina means not Yerushalayim or anywhere else, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's it. Now,
Medina is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Medina is saying that the Medina...
The Rambam learns that even Yerushalayim is called Mikdash. But Rashi learns that the b'migdash gvula Medina means anywhere in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Also not. Mm-hmm. So now the Gemara says, so the Beis HaMikdash they blew shofar on Shabbos, not in outside the Beis HaMikdash. Mishachar the Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then l'cheder there was no more blowing shofar on Shabbos. So his can Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, made a takonim, shall you take and that they would blow. B'chol makim sheyesh be'bezdin, in any city that had a bezdin. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made a takana that any city where there was a bezdin, they would blow sheif even on Shabbos. Why? And according to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, any bezdin, it didn't have to be the big bezdin of 71, or it had to be either 71 or 23. That was it. So any city that had a bezdin of 23 that was capable of giving capital punishment, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said they would blow on Shabbos.
Because they knew the law, not to do.
Well, the reason is, basically, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was afraid that people are going to forget the concept of blowing shofar. Because if you look in Chumash, the Torah doesn't say don't blow on Shabbos. According to the Torah, you blow on Shabbos all over the place. The Gemara is going to discuss why didn't they? The Chacham said you don't. The Torah says you blow on Shabbos. Because all the Torah says is on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Well, there's only one day of Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. The Torah doesn't say not Shabbos, not the week, regardless. And the Mishnah is going to explain, the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara says, the Chacham said, no, you don't. So even when the Chacham said, no, you don't, in the Beis HaMikdash they blew. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash they knew what they were doing. Yeah, also, right. Because they knew what they were doing, we're not afraid that they might do something wrong. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, you know, people are going to think you don't blow shofar anymore on Shabbos. But it's not true. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made a takana, whether the court at 71 or a court of 23, so then they were able to blow shofar. Okay? Now, those people, in the where bezdins were only of three people, because every city needed a bezdin of three people, they didn't blow on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar argues, not what he argues what Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, and he said lehiskin le Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai ela biyavne bilvad. Yavne was where the big after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the big bezdin moved to Yavne. So Yavne was where the big bezdin of 71. So now there's a machlekes between the first opinion and the second opinion. What did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai say? The first Tana says Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made a takana that any city with a bezdin of 71 or 23 could blow shofar on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar says no. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made the takana only in the big bezdin of 71, which happened to be in Yavne. But a bezdin of 23 did not blow shofar on Shabbos. Amr Loi, so they answered him back. It's not true. Echad Yavne of Echad Komakum Sheish Be Bezdin. They say that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made a takana not only in the big bezdin of Yavne, but any bezdin of 23. They blew. Ve'edzeis, and then it says, in addition, Haisi Yerushalayim, you say it al Yavne, but there was an advantage of Yerushalayim over Yavne. What does it mean? Because Shekol ir Shehiraya, any city that could see Yerushalayim, v'shemas, and can hear Yerushalayim, v'krei v'lovei, and was able to come, and the Gemara is going to explain what it means, taken, they were able to blow shofar on Shabbos too. Meaning, the Gemara says that not only did Yerushalayim blow on Shabbos, but any neighboring city that was close that you were able to come on Shabbos, and that you could see Yerushalayim and hear Yerushalayim, they also blew on Shabbos. But Yavne, lo yotekem bebezin bilvad. In Yavne, they only blew in the bezin itself. I mean, not anybody else. And we'll see the whole Gemara coming up soon, how this works.
So according to this, even after the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, it would blow in Yerushalayim on Shabbos?
No.
It wouldn't?
No. What the Gemara means is, in the time of the Beit Hamikdash, right, we'll soon see, Lachet, it contradicts the whole thing. Because Rashi says they only blew in the Beit Hamikdash and nowhere else. Right? And then the second half of the Mishnah is saying that every place that saw the Beis Hamikdash and everything blew, which would imply Yerushalayim did blow. We'll soon see in the Gemara the whole thing. See, they want to learn, some of us want to learn to answer this question that it depends which stage. Because originally, the Beis Hamikdash was where the big bezdin was. Then they moved out of the bezdin to out of the Beis Hamikdash by the destruction. They moved first to Yerushalayim. So Rashi, they explain according to Rashi as follows: the first half of the Mishnah that says they only blew in the Beis Hamikdash and not in Yerushalayim refers to when the Beis Hamikdash stood. So then they only blew in the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't blow in Yerushalayim. But once the Bezdin moved to Yerushalayim, that's the second half of the Mishnah that says they blew in Yerushalayim and in all neighboring cities. In Yavne, they only blew in the Bezdin. That's it. They only blew in the Bezdin. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Minohani Mili, from where do we know that the shofar should not be blown on Shabbos? Because L'cheira, if you take Chumash, Chumash says you blow shofar on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, from where do we learn that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? Where do we learn this out from? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, he says as follows. Because Kosev Echad Eimer, there's a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says Shabbosin Zichrin Trua, and Shabbos it should be a remembrance of Shofar. Mm-hmm. Remembrance means that you don't actually blow; it's just a remembrance. Mm-hmm. And another pasuk says Yem Trua Yilachem, it should be a day of blowing. So the Gemara asks, what is it? Is it a day of blowing, or is it a day of remembrance? So obviously, loikasha. Kam b'yomtiv shecholi is b'shabbos. One pasuk is speaking when it's Shabbos, so then it's only a remembrance. That means you don't blow. Kam b'yomtiv shecholi is b'chol. And the other one is speaking when it's in the yomt, and a weekday. So the Gemara answer is very simple. From where do we know that you don't blow on Shabbos? Because one pasuk says a remembrance of blowing. One pasuk says you blow. So how do we reconcile the difference? So the answer is very simple. When Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, you don't blow. When Rosh Hashanah is during the week, you do blow. So the Gemara says, Amr Rava, Rava asks a very simple question. If on Shabbos you don't blow biblically, hey, b'migdash heichi taken. How do they blow in the base of migdash? If the pasuk says Shabbos you don't blow, so then why did they blow in the base of migdash? So obviously it can be biblically that you don't blow, because the Torah says you don't blow on Shabbos, so then they're allowed to blow in the base of migdash. The aid, another question he says, halav malachi shayfar. I'll explain this in it's a very interesting question. Shafer is not a work. The itzter chlolim mu'uta that I would need a pasuk to tell me you don't. What does it mean? The Tanit ve'shmul, the yeshiva Shmuel learned, kom lechas aveida leisasu. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to do melechas aveida. Okay? You're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it says, yotzer t'kir shafer. It excludes t'kir shafer, or the diasapas. And taking out bread from an oven, which is a chochm, it's a skill, and it's not a malacha. Okay. Meaning is, the way Tesis explains this Gemara is as follows. The Gemara's question is, two questions. The Gemara wanted to say that we learn out from a pasuk that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Right? Because one pasuk says zichron teruah, one pasuk says blowing. Okay? So the Gemara answers, the pasuk that says blowing is when Rosh Hashanah is on a weekday, and the pasuk that says don't blow is when it's on Shabbos. So Rav says two questions. Number one, if biblically you don't blow, so how can they blow on the base of Mikdash? Secondly, it's as follows. Shofar itself is not forbidden. Shofar itself is not forbidden to do. So therefore it's as follows. As Tesis explains it like this. If blowing shofar would be forbidden, so then I need a pasuk to tell me Shabbos Rosh Hashanah you also don't blow. Meaning as follows. If shofar would be forbidden, then it makes sense for the Torah to tell me even on Rosh Hashanah you don't blow. Right. That means if blowing shofar every Shabbos would be forbidden, then I need the pasuk to tell me even Rosh Hashanah it's forbidden. Because I would think that maybe because it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. But if shofar is never forbidden anyway, why do I need a pasuk to tell me you don't blow on Shabbos?
But it's like a musical instrument on Shabbos when you blow shofar, isn't it? In that sense, it would be forbidden.
That's rabbinic. Blowing a musical instrument is rabbinic. Meaning, right. Meaning as follows. The Gemara says there was a skill that people had of taking bread out of the oven. It was a special skill. Not like today, you just pull it out of the oven. There's a special type of bread with special type of ovens. Huh?
Yeah, there is a skill. We've seen the people in action.
You know where you see it also? By the matzahs.
Yeah.
You see it's a skill. But the Gemara says it's a skill, it's not a malacha. Shofar blowing is also, the Gemara says, it's not a malacha. It's only a skill. The Chachamim said, you can't blow musical instruments on Shabbos, which obviously includes shofar, because shofar is also a musical instrument, basically. That means, biblically, you're allowed to play piano on Shabbos, you can blow trumpets on Shabbos, biblically. Why? Because it's not a malacha. The Chachamim came along and said, no, you might fix it, it might break, and you might come to biblical malacha, so you're not allowed to. But the Gemara's question is as follows. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? Right? He says that basically would mean that if it would be always forbidden, then I need a pasuk to tell me, and Shabbos he can't blow. Why? Because I would think for the mitzvah you could blow. So the Torah has to tell me, no, you can't blow. But if it's, but it, like he says, if it would be allowed anyway, so what do I need a pasuk to tell me you can't? Why would I think that you can't? Another, it's a strange style of the Gemara's question. But the Gemara's question, I would only need a pasuk if it would be forbidden to do on Shabbos. But if there be, being that it's not forbidden, why do I need a pasuk to tell me it's forbidden? So the Gemara says, question is, like he says, so why do, how can you learn it out biblically forbidden from these two psukim? So Elamid Rava, the Gemara says, and this is a very, very famous answer of the Gemara. Elamid Rava, Rava said, Midaraisa Mishra Shari. He says, the really minatayri allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. The Rabbanan, the Gazer, and the Chachamim were the ones that forbid it. Why? Because the Rabbi, like Rabbi says, the Amir Rabbi says, Hako chayav mitkiya shofar, everybody's obligated in the midst of shofar, meaning men at least. Vein hako b'kiya mitkiya shofar, and not everybody knows how to blow shofar. So Zeta, we're afraid, Shemi, Atlanta, B'yod, you may take the shofar in his hands on Shabbos, which is Rosh Hashanah, V'yelech etzel abaki lilmeid, and he'll go to the expert to learn how to blow, V'yavirenu, Dalet Amis, B'shus HaRabim, and he'll carry it for Amis in Rosh HaRabim. And the Gemara concludes, that's the reason of Lulav, why you don't do Lulav on Shabbos either. By the time of the Megillah, and that's why, if, according to our calendar, it can't, but if Purim would fall out on Shabbos, like it does in Yerushalayim, then you wouldn't listen to the Megillah and Purim.
So is that a point?
One second. Not long ago, Purim was Friday. Right? And Yerushalayim keeps the day after Purim. Because they keep the 15th. That means when Purim by us is Friday, they would read the Megillah and Shabbos. But you don't because of this Gemara. Meaning as follows. Rabbi answers, and this is a very, very famous Gemara. Rabbi says, Min HaTeira, you would blow shofar on Shabbos. Because it's not a melacha. It's not a problem. The Chachamim said, it's a problem of caring. Because everybody has to blow shofar. Not everybody knows how to blow shofar. So we're afraid the guy is going to go and carry the shofar in the street. The same thing with the lulav. Why don't you bench lulav on Shabbos? We're afraid you might carry the lulav in the street. Why don't you listen to the Megillah on Shabbos? Because we're afraid you might carry the Megillah in the street. Tesis over here asks, why does the Gemara say you might carry it for Amis in the street? Why doesn't the Gemara say you'll carry it from the house to the street? The same thing, you might carry it from the house to the street. Why does the Gemara say for Amis in Rishus HaRabim? Tesis answers, from the house to the street is more noticeable, you know, because different places than 4 cubits in the street. Okay? But now, there's an interesting thing, as everybody knows, according to Chassidus, Chassidus has the question, Shofar is such a holy mitzvah. Shofar is such a holy mitzvah. Shofar is a concept of tshuva, because of a few ignorant people. You're going to take away the mitzvah shofar from every all the great people. Mm-hmm. This is the Gemara doesn't discuss. Mm-hmm. That's why you need Chassidus. So Chassidus answers that the truth is when Rosh Hashanah falls in on Shabbos, you don't need shofar.
Because
shofar is tshuva, and Shabbos Shin Beisof is the letters Toshav. If you switch Shabbos around, it becomes tshuva. Shabbos itself is tshuva, so you don't need the concept of shofar. No, the reason why you don't put on tefillin on Shabbos is because tefillin are a sign. That's why the Gemara doesn't say that's what not the reason of tefillin. Tefillin is a different reason. Because tefillin, it says, Ekshartim la'eis al yadecha, has to be tied for a sign. Shabbos is ki eisi yubayni yubayin b'nei yisrael. Shabbos itself is a sign. So the Gemara says, when you have the sign of Shabbos, then you don't need the sign of tefillin. But that's not... But the Rebbe asks in the Sichet, not the Rishonim asks an interesting question. If that's the case, the Chacham should decree that when Pesach falls on Shabbos, you don't eat matzah either. It's a famous question that the Rishonim ask. Just like there's no lulav, just like there's no shayfar, just like there's no Megillah, so why on Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, we eat matzah? The Chacham should say, no matzah. So there's a lot of halachic answers. But according to Chassidus, it's the same thing again. Because Pesach doesn't accomplish what matzah does. So you need it. Shabbos doesn't accomplish what matzah does. So you need matzah and Shabbos. But the other things you taka don't need.
So if someone finds a tefillin on the street on Shabbos, are they allowed to wear it and walk home?
Yeah.
Even though it's Shabbos? Yes.
Right. It's only if there's no other way to make it respectable.
Okay.
Huh?
Can you hide it in the bushes?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not respectful for the tefillin.
Hide it in a bush because I carry it.
Whatever, but you're allowed to, if there's no choice, you're allowed to carry it.
Which Chacham made the decision that you're not allowed to blow a shofar?
Well, the one that says is Rabba. In the Gemara here, Rabba. The Poskim do discuss, if I'm not mistaken, is it Rabba's origin? Because obviously it stopped much before Rabba was born. So they say it was from before, but Rabba was the one that said it. You know, that had the oral tradition of it. Well, there's a very famous question that the Tosis asks, not over here but in other places, which is a very interesting question. The Gemara really asks the question, how did a Chacham have the power to uproot the din of the Torah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who gave him that power?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says a rule, which is interesting, Yesh keyach b'yach Chacham laka davim en ha-Torah b'sheva al tase. The Chachamim were given the biblical authority to uproot a Torah law by saying, don't do it. The Chachamim don't have the ability to say, do a negative Aveda. That means the Chachamim don't have the power to say, eat chazer. That they don't have the koyach to do. But the Torah gave the Chachamim to say, when the Torah says, do something, the Chachamim were given the power to say, don't do it. Wait, because it's active and passive. Like we learned in the Gemara in Makkos, we learned there's a difference between active sinning and passive sinning. Remember?
Yeah.
So the concept is, if the Chachamim are telling you eat chazer, you are actively doing a sin. That kriyach the Chachamim don't have. But if the Chachamim say don't blow shofar, they're basically not telling you to actively sin. They're just telling you to passively not do the mitzvah, which is not as severe. And that koyach the Torah gave the Chachamim. So that power the Chachamim can have.
Where is written the Torah then?
But then obviously you're talking about the Chachamim of not today. A guy can't come along and say, okay, don't put on tefillin. I mean, you can't, today forget it.
Hasn't happened in a long time.
No.
Where is the written the Torah that the Rabbunim has the Torah?
It was given Allah Mishum Sinai. It's not a Pasik in Chumash.
Oh.
It might be, maybe they learned it off from a Pasik, I don't remember. But it's based on Allah Mishum Sinai. What?
How do they have the power to do that with a biblical
Mishum? The Torah gave him that Koyach.
Even a biblical?
Yeah.
What was the last Takana? Rabbi Gershon's Takana on a multi wife?
There were a lot of Takanas.
I mean, latest Takana.
The Friedrich Rebbe made a Takana to learn Chitas. The Rebbe made a Takana to learn Rambam. But these are additional things people should do. Not to do things. Rabbeinu Gershom never said don't do things.
Don't take more than one wife.
But the Torah doesn't say you have to take more than one wife. The Torah says you're allowed more than one wife. So he said don't do it. That's not going against the Torah.
No.